You're impossibly fast and strong. You gotta give me some answers.
I'd rather hear your theories.
I have considered radioactive spiders and kryptonite.
It's all superhero stuff, right? What if I'm not the hero? What if I'm the bad guy?
I know what you are. Your skin is pale white and ice cold. You don't go out into the sunlight.
Say it out loud. Say it.
Vampire.
Are you afraid?
No. This isn't real. This kind of stuff just doesn't exist.
It does in my world.
And welcome to episode 10 of the Sweet Feathery Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Belasco, the admin at sweetfeatheryjesus.com. With us, we have Booze. How you doing tonight, Booze?
Hello, everyone.
We also have Dr. P.
Hey, guys.
And as a special guest, first time on the podcast, you know him on the site as the BYP.
Hello.
Hey, there he is. Sometimes known as BIP or Bippy or some other variation of BYP. It's good to have you on the show. We appreciate you taking the time.
Not a problem.
So here's the big thing. It's another movie club episode, and we got stuck with a little piece of cinematic hell known as Twilight.
I'm the world's most dangerous predator. Everything about me invites you in. My voice, my face, even my smell.
Who wants to run down the plot of Twilight? By the way, there are going to be spoilers, so if
if anyone's
if you're
dying
planning
to
on
see
watching it,
it,
don't listen to this. But honestly, don't plan on watching it. It's just not worth it.
I can give a quick rundown.
All right, go for it.
Yeah, movie started off with Bella, who I thought was going to make the movie pretty easy to watch. Kristen Stewart's really beautiful. She's a little hot.
It's taking too long. Hurry up with a synopsis.
Okay. She's moving from Arizona to Sav's neck of the woods. And new school, all the girls sit around the lunch table and talk about the packages of the boys on the swim team. Then Weirdo Edward walks in, love at first sight, which is ridiculous. He's really goofy looking and she's amazing. But it really all comes together when that van is flying through the parking lot inexplicably in the school parking lot, gets sideways and out of control.
Oh, wait a minute.
He flies across the parking lot. Go ahead.
Okay, I thought you said band as in music.
No,
it was like
no,
segue into band. Lost Boys.
This is the second film we've watched in a row with a really unconvincing motor vehicle accident in it. I see a pattern emerging.
Yeah, there's the van careening across the parking lot that almost hit her, and then as
Edward locks it with his hand, and she's all wet in the panties, and then
and he's a vampire. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
She doesn't know that yet. I don't think.
Yeah, but everyone else does.
But she had lots of questions.
Yeah, that point.
You know.
All those townies want to rape her, and he saved her there. And then she Googles his superpowers and figures out he's a vampire.
Oh,
and
yeah, Google that. Does it.
Yep.
And there's a rival band of vampires, basically, who try to make her a vampire, and then the other vampires look after her, and then it all happens really, really quickly, and then it ends.
Yeah,
that's it. That'll do, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
they're vegetarian vampires.
Yeah,
they call themselves.
They call themselves vegetarian vampires, which I guess was that Bambi sequence at the opening of the film.
Yeah,
and that was. I don't know whether it's a homage, but it was. That's in American Werewolf in London, isn't it?
Oh yeah,
those things.
So apparently, this Edward is part of a family of vampires that live in this town in Washington State, and it's really
very diverse town.
It's a what?
It's
a very diverse town.
It is a diverse town. It's full of various shades of light brown.
Where else are you going to find liberal vampires at? This is the only place. I mean, that's where they would be.
It's known as Forks in Washington State. And so she comes there to live, and that's what gets the ball rolling. Now, you mentioned that Edward is kind of a weirdo. Did you get the really strong, I'm trying too hard to be James Dean vibe coming off of him?
Yeah. And he was trying to be James Dean.
Yeah.
And he ended up being that kid out of Dawson's Creek.
I kept thinking he looked like the guy from King of Queens, like if he lost a lot of weight.
She would not, that little hot piece of ass would not have fallen for him like that. No way.
Hold up, not though. That wait a minute. You've fallen in love with her, Dr. P. Right?
Yeah. Great. Lee, didn't you fall, whatever they call it there, bum over noggin? Didn't you really just think she was the hottest thing you'd seen?
No.
No.
Oh, she's got a chin on. Alaska, you are so full of it because dark got the little pale type.
She didn't.
Right?
Yeah, she's pale, but she's not gothy. She's just dull.
So you enjoying the rain? What?
You're asking me about the weather?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Well, I don't really like the rain. Any cold, wet thing, I don't really.
Yes, well, that's the thing, because they have to work at that. There's a lot of mumbling goes on in this film.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like, stilted conversation at the start. And I couldn't hear a lot of it. I had to keep rewinding it, which made it worse because it made it longer. And there's still one line in there that I can't decipher, and I wonder if you could help me out. You know, after the really convincing van crash where Edward the vampire saves her life, he says, "You're not going to leave this," which she wants an explanation. How did that happen? How did you save me? What's going on?
Yeah.
And he says, "You're not going to leave this, are you?" And she goes, "No." Then he says, "Well, in that case, I hope you like..."
You're not going to let this go, are you?
No.
Well, then I hope you enjoy disappointment.
I rewound it four times. I don't know what he said.
He said Dirty Sanchez.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Oh, and also, he can read minds, but for some magical reason, not hers. So, like, they're meant to be. That was annoying as fuck, too.
Yeah, and that just really went nowhere throughout the
But
that was a useful device, wasn't it, for, like, exposition?
Oh, yeah.
I can read every mind in this room, apart from yours. Just money, sex. Money, sex, cat. And then you, nothing. It's very frustrating.
Is there something wrong with me?
Because when the rival vampire came after her, he knew what the rival vampire was thinking.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to have any, you know... That could just happen straight away, that you know, in the final third of the film.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not jump to the rival vampire just yet, because that's a great part.
Yeah, but because there's also the American Indian family that wants to stop by and say hello, which apparently Cher is a member of and is really into Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, Navajo Joe in his wheelchair there.
Yeah, the Navajo in the wheelchair. He was trying to stay in touch with the kids and talk their language, and it was just God, it was douchey.
I told you she'd love it. I'm down with the kids.
Oh yeah, dude, you're the bomb.
Well, he's another one in the long line of Native American actors who can't act. You know, there's a fine tradition of that, and I think it should be upheld. So I'm glad about that.
Just keeping it real, son.
That's why they used to get Italians to do it.
That's true. They get an Italian to cry on the side of the road because none of the Navajo could do it.
They couldn't sober up long enough.
No.
So I haven't seen the sequel, but we were discussing that Dr. P inadvertently watched the sequel instead of the film that we had to watch. And then he had to watch the first one as well. So, you know, double pain for him. But Dr. P, that guy in the wheelchair, Navajo Joe, whatever his name is, he gets out of that wheelchair, doesn't he, in the second part? He's got to, when he turns into a wolf man. Or will that happen in the third one?
No, I think he actually gets one of Heaps' PVC chariots.
Yeah, PVC chariot.
So to answer your question, no, he doesn't get out of the wheelchair. Or at least not in part two. He may in three. No, but I just went to the torrent site and downloaded the first thing I saw that said Twilight, and I didn't look at the year. I didn't think about it. The fact it said Eclipse out to the side, I didn't think a thing of. And I watch it and think, wow, that was really horrible.
You didn't
even
watch number two. You watched number three.
Oh, okay.
Downloaded like the 6-hour version, the compendium.
There's three of these?
I may as well see the middle one. to get to how the other vampires come in, it's the gayest setup in the world. Everyone has to remember the gay baseball game.
Oh yeah, that comes a little bit later. That comes a little bit later. My favorite part was that the way Edward looked like she cut a fart every time she comes around him. He's got this look.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, right? That when she first goes into the class, she stands in front of a fan. Right, Edward is sitting at a desk with an empty seat next to it. You know that's where she's going to have to end up sitting, right, on her first day in science class. She stands in front of the fan. The fan blows the papers up in front of him, so you know he's getting a whiff of her. And he, like, goes, you know, he pulls a double take, you know, Pepe Le Pew stinky face. Right? Now, I don't know. Did he get a whiff of a minge at that point? Because that's what I took from that at first viewing.
No.
Maybe
no.
She was on the rag.
He's disgusted because of how attracted to her she is.
He just saw his tuna casserole in the school cafeteria for lunch.
Oh, he's trying to control the bloodlust.
I plan to confront him and demand to know what his problem was.
But she's like a drug to him, remember?
All right, but this is a massive plot hole, right? Because he smells her then, but he hangs around with humans all day at school.
But right. She's special.
Oh, is that it?
But then the
gay baseball game. You know, I have to jump ahead at this point. There's no way of doing it otherwise. But there's one rival vampire who is the most, you know, homoerotic.
Oh yeah.
It's Top Gun. It's ridiculous the way he runs around the forest, you know, posing and sniffing.
I called him Legolas. But, and he hangs out with Stevie Nicks and Shabba Ranks.
Oh, yeah, old Shabba. But he turned out to be a good guy because he's, you know, that's good. But, yeah, so at the gay baseball game, she's a human. She's there with all these vampires. No one smells her until, you know, a breeze kicks up.
Could you use three more players? Oh, come on. Just one game.
Sure. Why not?
A few of us were leaving. You could take their place.
What about first?
I'm the one with the wicked curveball.
Oh, well, I think we can handle that.
Oh!
We shall see.
Brought a snack.
A human?
The girl is with us. I think it best if you leave.
You know, when there's a bit of a gust, hang about. He's standing right next to her, this dude. But all of a sudden, oh, hang on, what's this? She's a human, so I'm going to kill her. And then there we can have the you know, the third act to the film.
Oh,
it was really strange that he couldn't just go kill someone else. He had to fight these other vampires to kill her out of all the people. You know, he could have killed anybody. That really didn't make sense why he was so obsessed, or
you
they
just
all
said
were.
It. She was special.
Yeah, she smelled special. Yeah.
It's like hiding a Twinkie at a NASCAR event in your back pocket.
A bunch of heads turning all at once. Oh, and how about Edward's weird little brother, Harpo Marx. Did you notice him?
Oh, when she comes to the house to meet the vampire family, that was one of the – it was almost comic relief. It was so bad. His weird vampire family that were vegetarian.
Yeah, Harpo Marx just killed me every time he was on screen.
He looked like a robot Harpo Marx. That's what he looked like.
Every time he was on screen, I accepted to hear that stupid hornet.
Can you imagine being 17 for eternity at your parents' house?
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
That was another plot hole, though. Because he goes to great lengths to explain why, you know, we move from town to town and then we graduate from high school and we have to move on. And I just thought, well, you all look like adults because you are in real life. So why do you have to go to school? Why don't you just say you're 22 and get a job, you know, with Cletus down at the garage?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And
well, eventually everyone's going to grow old and you're still going to be, you know, 20 or however old the actors are.
Well, that's why they keep moving around, but they keep going to places where it's really dark all the time. Apparently, they sparkle
in the sunlight, evidently.
Yeah, it's the rainiest place on Earth, and they sparkle in the daylight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't die. They don't burn in agony. They sparkle.
This is why we don't show ourselves in sunlight. People would know we're different. What I am.
It's like diamonds. You're beautiful.
Beautiful. This is the skin of a killer, Belle.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? We're going to sit here and watch a sparkly vampire fall in love.
Mm-hmm. We did.
Who wants to see it? Well, apparently teenage girls want to see it.
Well, this is the other thing. What is the demographic for this film? It is, like, obviously teenage girls, but I would say 12 to 14, really.
Yeah.
And if you get past 14 and you're obsessing about Edward, then you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think it was the third one, I had the good fortune to be in Leicester Square, you know, which is our version of Times Square.
Right.
You might know it better as Leicester Square. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I was there when they had the premiere of even the last one or the one before that. I think it was the last one. And I was there in the afternoon at about 1 o'clock walking through there, and they'd closed it all off, and it was full already completely of teenage girls, right?
Oh.
All lined up ready for 8 o'clock or whenever Robert Pattinson was going to turn up. And lots of those girls looked, well, Dr. P, you'll back me up on this. It's very hard to tell a girl's age these days, isn't it? No? But they looked like 18, 19-year-olds, you know, which is way too old. There's something wrong with you if you're doing that. It's like the adults you see, you know, on the train reading the Harry Potter books. No, even if it's the adult cover version with a black and white picture of a steam train on it, you know, it's still a fucking kid's book. It's about a child wizard grow up, you know.
And it plays to them like they're such idiots. You know, there wasn't a single, I couldn't find a single intelligent scene in the whole film. Like, remember when they went to the, where was it? They were going to, like, some greenhouse, some kind of a botany exhibit or whatever. And those retards are outside of it playing with worms in a box.
Bella, look. It's a worm. It's a worm.
I was like, what the hell school is this?
That was the gay Chinese guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, the guy, you got a gay Chinese fella, you've got a white dweeb, you've got, who else you got? You've got a Latino, sort of a Latino chick, and you've got like a ditzy white nerd chick. And they are like the sketched in very broad strokes. Let's put it that way.
Oh man!
You know, there's no there's no depth of character there.
None.
Whoa!
I'm sorry. I told them not to let me play.
Oh, wait. No. That's don't. You're Isabella, right?
Just Bella.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Mike Newton.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
She's got a great spike, huh? Yeah. I'm Jessica, by the way. Hey, you're from Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Aren't people from Arizona supposed to be, like, really tan?
Yeah. Maybe that's why they kicked me out.
You're good.
That's so funny.
And P, I don't understand how you can be interested at all in Kristen Stewart. I mean, everything I've seen her in, I've seen her in a couple of things now. She was in the Runaways movie recently where she played Joan Jett. And she was the same way that she was in this.
Okay. Absolutely. Maybe she's not a good actress. She's
completely dull. Eyes. And then there was that part in the movie where somebody was referring to her and says, she seems happy. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Women widowed on their wedding night aren't this depressed. Come on.
No, she wasn't a bubbly character.
No, not at all. And I just couldn't get enough of the incredibly non-awkward banter between her and her dad.
Oh, yeah.
And his pedophile mustache. That I think that's what was throwing her off, because she was creeped out by him.
But that's the thing about this film. You know, I thought, right, it's a cop. Mustache. That's it. Stick a mustache on him. that way, even when he's not in uniform, we'll know he's a copper.
And there was no doubt.
Sales lady picked up the bed stuff. You like purple, right?
Purple's cool. Thanks.
Okay.
The whole concept.
Can I talk about the baseball game? That really pissed me off. That was the gayest part.
Yeah, the part that was just, they can only play baseball when there's a storm.
Yeah. Why was that again? I kind of missed the reason.
The reason why is they hit the ball so hard, it's like a sonic boom. So they hit it so hard and it's so loud, it sounds like thunder. And if there wasn't a storm, people would be like, oh my God, there's vampires playing baseball.
Yeah.
Run.
Exactly.
You know, maybe they should take up badminton instead.
Because vegetarian vampires don't need to run.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, what was the point of playing? They throw hundreds of miles per hour, hit the ball every time, miles, and run under the line drives for the catch every time. Why bother if every pitch can be hit and every hit's caught? You know, I mean,
exactly.
It's no longer a game.
Yeah, because they can hit it for miles and they can run really fast and catch it and get back really fast. Why leave the bases at regulation distance from each other?
Exactly. Yeah.
And why let that chick pitch, because she couldn't?
Yeah, that's true too.
What about the baseball game pissed you off specifically, P?
The slow motion, the special. Jesus fucking Christ.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, if I hold perfectly still, I think we're good.
Exactly. Well, okay.
That's what she said.
So, yeah, what was gay about it was just the way it was filmed and the slow motion catches and Edward, he's so fast. It was...
Is it just me, or did this film look like it could have been made in 1995?
Yes, it did.
Yes.
You know?
It did.
And it's got that in common with the last film we watched for this podcast as well.
It was very low budget. I mean, it's going to make its money back. It's not going for a lot of production values. I wanted to bring up the fact that... I wanted to bring up the fact that it may have been the worst film soundtrack I've ever heard. Every single song they played sounded like utter modern pop rock trash.
Again, I would say that this sounds like there was nothing featured on the soundtrack that sounded like it had been made after about 1996. You know, it was awful.
It was
really terrible. To the point where even the incidental music, it sounded like Eric Clapton was, you know, wanking away at his worst in the background. You know, it's good electric guitar going off there.
I mean, there have been so many vampire movies, and it's been done to death already. And I know the whole sparkling thing. Oh, it's different. I know, but it's gay.
Exactly. It's different because it's shitter.
Yeah. It's completely gay, and he calls himself the world's most dangerous predator. Well, I'm sorry, but the world's most dangerous predator wouldn't sparkle in the light.
No.
You wouldn't be able to see him coming.
No, women shouldn't be able to write vampire movies, you know.
Exactly.
At least not this one.
Well, Anne Rice kind of did, but, you know, she kind of went off on the deep end. But
she did. Those first two were good.
No, they get all hung up on the romance of it. And
They do, and Anne Rice did, too.
Gore.
She did. That's why I liked the first two, actually. After that, they just turned to shit. But
I liked the thought of the little girl being a vampire and being really evil. That was pretty cool. But
that was cool.
Yeah, she was hot.
Yeah.
No, she was like 5. That's too young.
But what I find frustrating about this movie is, how do you take liberties with a vampire movie? I mean, since when can vampires walk around in the daylight?
And sparkle, yeah.
Well, we'll just change everything up, and we'll. Yeah. It's I guess they have the ability to do that, but that's.
Well, they've also got the ability.
Wreck.
Yeah, they can read minds when it suits them, and they can see the future when it suits them. But
one in the family seems to have other special powers besides being a vampire. That was pretty obnoxious too.
Yeah, the one that can see into the future.
Yeah,
and sort of.
As we move into them being able to see into the future, we start moving towards the climax of the film, which we've hinted at already. There's a group of evil vampires that are killing people. They're just wandering through, and the real homoerotic one, Legolas, as I call him, kind of
Iceman.
Focused on Bella and decides to hunt her down. So they have to send Bella away. And I thought one of the funniest parts was when the entire good vampire family was running through the woods, and they were telling that one girl, "Mark that tree, mark this." Just like, I just kept imagining her lifting her leg. No, I was like, oh God. So to take it, because apparently the Legolas was apparently a really good tracker, and he could.
Well, yeah, he was, but he couldn't smell the bird when he was. Standing next
exactly
to her,
10 feet away.
The wind was going in the right direction. Then he managed to track her back to where did she go? Back to Phoenix.
Yeah.
He managed to track her all the way, which she got to in about 90 seconds. Of running.
The rest of the movie had gone that fast,
and those 90 seconds were pretty much all taken up by Edward telling her what was going on and telling the audience what was going on and why this is happening. Yeah, the exposition was going on there big time because of his mind reading.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I fell out when they were fighting in the gym or the dance studio.
Now you bring up a good point. First of all, how the fuck did he know where her ballet studio was, the tracker?
He could still smell her there.
Apparently so. And she had a key.
Googled.
How did she have a key? She had a key to get into her old dance studio from when she was a kid.
Well, this is why I thought there was going to be some plot twist with her mum. Because after the big fight, you know, the big boring shit fight goes down with its inevitable outcome, and she's in hospital. I thought the film was over then, but it goes on a lot longer than that afterwards for some fucking reason. But at that point, when her mum's like sitting over her in bed and you've got Edward pretending to be asleep in the corner, I thought, all right. Her mum's going to turn out to go full vampire here. This is going to be good. Right? I thought that was going to be a twist because, you know, I've watched films before.
Sure.
This is the sort of thing that happens in films that I've watched before that are, you know, even shit films try and do this sort of thing. No, it's just her mum, you know. And her mum, by the way, her mum is the one who sent her to this shitty town up in Washington State in the first place because her husband played baseball. She wanted to go on the road with some stud she'd met who played minor league baseball.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, cheers, bum. And then when Bella rings her up and goes, yeah, I'm actually quite digging it up here in Fawkes, Washington, her mum goes, what?
So how's all the baseball stuff going?
Oh, Phil's working so hard. You know, spring training. We're looking for a house to rent in case things become more permanent.
You'd like Jacksonville, baby.
Yeah. I'm really liking Fawkes.
What?
You know, I thought you'd hate it. So in which case, yeah, well, thanks a lot, Mum, for sending me up here. You yeah. Fucking...
A place you know I'll hate. Yeah.
She apparently hadn't been there since she was like 8 years old, and now she's.
But everybody remembered her. Yeah.
Still got the same waitress in the diner.
Oh God! Mm-hmm. What a miserable life that has to be. But you brought up the incredibly boring fight sequence.
Bella does get the shit beat out of her, though.
She does, but the fight sequence between Edward and whatever the other guy,
yeah.
Like I said, I just called him Legolas. I swear to God, I have not seen two pussies collide like that since I rented Vulvapalooza. It was completely ineffectual and absolutely did nothing.
Yeah, it was a terrible fight scene, terrible effects, and just one of those... I kick your ass for a second, then you kick me through a door, and, you know.
And we levitate on some wires.
Yeah.
Levitate on wires.
It was awful.
Oh, God. I was just like, this
So, so who won?
Did you not make it? Of course, Edward wins. But the thing that really bugged me was the fact that apparently... The vampire bite is like a venom that you can suck out of a wound.
Yeah, like John Wayne with a snake bite, yeah.
God.
Femoral artery's been severed. She's losing too much blood.
No, 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 my head is burning.
It's the venom.
You have to make a choice. You don't let the change happen.
No. No.
It's gonna happen, Edward. I've seen it.
She doesn't have to be that way. She's still hemorrhaging. Alice, make me turn to get your belt.
Carlo, what's my other option?
Tie it above my head.
Carlisle!
Go. You can try to suck the venom out.
No, I won't be able to stop.
Find the will to stop.
She gets bitten, and it says, you're going to have to suck out the venom.
Take a course of antibiotics. Come and see me in 2 weeks. You'll be all right.
So, and then all of this leads up to the point to where, you know, there were initially three who you thought were bad guys. There was the Tracker Legolas. There was Shabba Ranks, who ended up being a good guy and warned them about Legolas.
Yeah.
That was a weird move, wasn't it, one?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was almost like he was there, and then he was gone.
It's almost like they said, hang about, we've got a black guy in this film who turns out to be one of the bad guys. We can't have that. Come on.
Yeah.
So he just turns up. Maybe it's that, and maybe it's a little bit of exposition, you know, move the story along. But I don't think so, because Edward had already read the dude's mind, so he knew what was going on.
Yeah, and then Legolas has this girl that he's with, who I just called Stevie Nicks, because I can't remember her name. So you wonder, so you know what happens to Shabba Ranks. Legolas gets killed. They rip his head off and burn him, which...
No stakes. Whole movie, no stakes.
So, but then there's the Stevie Nicks girl. You don't know what happens to her. Apparently, at the end, you find out she's really pissed off because they killed her boyfriend, the bad vampire.
She's got a riot up about that, yeah.
Yeah, she's going to... That's, I guess, where we go in the sequel that P didn't watch.
She got really fat. She got really fat, too.
Yeah.
It was Stevie Nicks when she was off the coke for 5 minutes.
Oh, God. So, And then, so towards the end, she's in the hospital. She's recovering from her wounds. And they
As
recommend well, we. that she moves back to Jacksonville with her whore mom. Jacksonville, Florida. And Edward encourages her to do that. So, and he says, I quote,
"So I can't hurt you anymore."
And I'm like, so Florida is a natural vampire.
Yeah.
Even vampires
I can't blame him.
Don't want to go to Florida.
His whole thing about, you know, yeah, you don't want to get too close to me, baby. I'm trouble. It reminded me of George Costanza. You know, when he had that thing where Elaine's secretary, you know, got convinced that he was a bad boy because Elaine said, no, don't hang out with George because he's an arsehole. And he starts chewing gum and driving his dad's El Camino or whatever.
Didn't he wear his old school letter jacket?
Yeah. <That's it.
laughs> Jeans with turn-ups.
Oh, God. Oh, man. And so I guess it picks up from there where they go to prom. And first of all, who had blackjack tables at their prom?
That was English, so I didn't have a prom.
That's a good point. There were blackjack tables at the prom.
Was it at the...
I remember that, yep.
That's what Indians do.
Good point. Legally, probably. Yep, they're on the res.
That's exactly what it was. You're right, Vip.
Talking about those Native American dudes, you know, I mean, it was obvious that there was going to be some kind of Wolfman action coming up. You know, they've all got long hair. They looked a bit like, they reminded me, do you remember that band Extreme?
Yeah. More than words. Yeah.
More than words. Yeah. They looked a bit like that.
They were like Extreme. Because, you know, there was the one that was like really into Bella, who just struck me as Cher. And then every other member of his family, it was like, well, there's Joan Baez. There's Loretta Lynn. I was like, Jesus Christ.
They did look like rejects from Legend of Billy Jack. I mean, that was a ragtag group of fucking Indians. It really was.
That main dude looked to me like, because he had a weird sort of little button nose, didn't he?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if you look up his name and the word alpaca, and it'll be the funniest image you've ever seen in your life.
Well, you must share this on the website.
Yeah, it'll be him right next to an alpaca, and he looks exactly alike.
Well, this is the thing, because you get the impression, like, he's not going to turn into a wolf, he's going to turn into an Ewok.
I like the part where they were cooking her dinner in the...
Yeah, the salad.
Come over and meet my... It was...
Yeah, be my family. But did you notice that the chick there goes, oh, there's definitely a human in the house. What? Well, then there must have been a breeze then. If we're going to, you know, we're sticking true to the way this film works.
Well, there was a part when she was wanting to bang him, and he didn't. And so they stayed up and cuddled.
Well, this is another massive problem I've got with the film, because... Yeah, it's almost as if, like, it's all promoting abstinence.
That's where it comes from, is the whole Mormon thing.
Right.
Okay. Maybe a vampire can't get a hard-on in her story.
I thought it was maybe. Promoting.
Not unless it's a full moon.
Not to fuck your food.
But check it out. I mean, imagine if you're like a teenage boy now, and this film has come out, and then you've got, you know, your girlfriend goes... You know, well, yeah, I don't want to do anything, you know, because I've been watching Twilight. Let's just lay it down.
And I'm completely out of the mood.
Yeah, well, I was. But, yeah, well, let's lay next to each other, not even touching, and listen to some Spanish guitar music like they do, you know. I thought it was bad enough when I was 13 and Janet Jackson brought out that song Let's Wait a While.
Oh. That put me
back here. You know, I'd be well fucked off if I was 13 years old now and this Twilight Products was coming out.
Janet was a cock blocker.
Exactly.
And she just cock blocked everybody with that song.
Well, the dude was like 108 or something, wasn't it? I think the age of consent is 18.
Yeah, something like that. And then you remember when she had the dream about him and he turned into Robert Smith from The Cure? This was a tough one to get through. I don't know that we can forgive Taco Toe for this one.
No, I'm angry.
I actually thought, and especially after, like I said, after the last film we watched, which was terrible. I really thought, well, this is at least going to be a proper film, and I will get some enjoyment from it. And it's a phenomenon.
I thought we'd be getting off easy, yeah.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon, and there must be something about it. There must be, you know, for that many people to like it. But, you know, it turns out that 12 to 14-year-old girls are fucking idiots.
They really are.
Who knew?
They really are.
Now, this is what happens if you let a woman write a vampire film.
Yes.
You know?
They shouldn't have even called them vampires. It should have just been a different thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like in...
Faggot.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine, like, the meeting at 28 Days Later if they said, all right, well, we've got a new idea for a zombie, right? And they go, all right, yeah. And it goes, we're going to make them fast. And then another bloke sitting next to him goes, no, hang on. No, that's rubbish. Let's make them sparkle in the daylight. Does anyone think that this dude would be better playing Frankenstein than a vampire as well? I mean, he's...
Oh, hell yes.
Edward.
Put a couple bolts on his neck, and yeah, you got him.
He's very kind of... There is something very Boris Karloff about him.
Yeah, he'd be a gay Frankenstein.
Yeah. Skinny gay Frankenstein.
it's a two-hour film, and I think and like we've said, the third act is crammed into such a short space of time, you know?
Well, yes.
It just happens, like, you know, in the blink of an eye, and you think, oh, fucking hell, how did we get back to Phoenix?
Well, this was a... This whole movie was set up at the perfect time. And 20 years ago, you'd have never gotten away with this. No way if the average person would take their 14-year-old daughter to go see a vampire movie where there's a romantic thing. But, you know, same thing with Harry Potter. 20 years ago, you know, people wouldn't have taken their kids down to the theater to watch a movie about wizardry. So yeah. She capitalized on this, you know, and she took this mediocre, mundane story with no thought put into it, stuck it out there in a movie for very little money, because you know the production of this didn't have to cost shit.
No.
Nah.
And she just raked it in. And
she's at
the right place at the right time. And you know, these 14-year-old girls that are driving shit like Lady Gaga and all this shit that we get bombarded with every day. I say, fuck them. You got this $1 trillion. Everybody's gone. Well, we don't want to leave our debt to the future generation. Fuck them.
Yeah.
You know, don't forget about that gay dollar as well, because you're talking about Lady Gaga. I bet there's a few gay dudes watching this.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking, yeah. Mark, my favorite isn't Edward, it's Legolas. He's my... Oh, look at him. Look at him running through the forest, sniffing and you know, pumping his biceps.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, you know they've all got their favorite. I like the black vampire. Yeah, you know they've all got their thing.
You would.
I would especially dislike the black vampire, but...
I wasn't insulting. He was just quoting a gay fella very convincingly.
See? Thank you. I didn't even put the lisp into it. I should have.
What are some vampire movies that... I mean, it is the Halloween season. What are some vampire movies we can recommend to cleanse the palate of this atrocity?
Dude, the worst... Even Salem's Lot was very disappointing. It's a huge upgrade from this. I mean,
the vampire movie is going to have to work very, very hard to ditch this gayness.
Yes.
That's come upon it, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be really, really tough.
It's going to be hard work. That's why...
Honestly, American...
Sorry, go on.
No, American Werewolf in London. I can't think
it's
of...
a werewolf film.
Yeah.
There were werewolves in the third one. The clue's in there somewhere.
Huh? I know, I'm still in the wagon, I swear. I'm not shitting you. Since mid-August. I saw the third one.
Frankenstein's my favorite vampire film.
Okay, got there.
And that will do it for this episode of the SweetFeatheryJesus.com podcast. For more fun and laughs, make sure you visit our message board at SweetFeatheryJesus.com. You can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Just look for SweetFeatheryJesus.com.
We're also available on the Revere Radio Network. Please check revereradio.net for showtime listings. And you can email me, the host, Belasco at sweetfeatheryjesus.com. Follow us on Twitter at sfj.com. That's S-F-J-D-O-T-C-O-M. And we're also on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/sweetfeatheryjesus. Thank you very much. You were so scared, but no one would listen. Faggots.